out today. Thank you very much for being with us. Welcome to our online community today. Great to have you on board, also joining our gathering wherever you are today. Well, there's a lot going on in our world. There's a lot going on in church life. Make sure you head to our webpage to find out the details for everything that we promote on church news. Because I know church news kind of comes at you and we don't always capture all the details. Go to our webpage. You'll get all the details there for what's happening, particularly over the Christmas period. Really excited about the Christmas plan that we have this year and the number of community things that we're involved in. Light to the World. It's going to be a great time and just excited that we can host that moment here for our community. Then also what we're doing with Angel Tree is that is just so good to bless kids whose parents are incarcerated. So that's an amazing opportunity for us to be a blessing to people. Our services over Christmas, please, we've changed everything up this year because nothing is as it was. Everything has changed. And it's been a big year. Has it been a big year for you?
Yeah.
It's been a big year. It's been a massive year. I can't believe we're talking about Christmas already. It just seems like I woke up and the year has gone. It's gone that quick. It's been that busy with all kinds of activity this year. So we've changed up our Christmas gathering moments over Christmas. Boxing Day, which is, if you haven't heard, that's the day after Christmas. And the day after Christmas, most people aren't in real good shape because they've had a massive day with family and friends. And we figured, you know, most of the people in our church come every weekend. Every Sunday you're here, rain, hail, thunder, lightning, no matter what's going on, you're here because you love the house of God. And so we thought over the Christmas time, giving our leaders a little bit of a moment of rest also, that we would go online for our services on the 26th of December. We won't have a live gathering. It'll be an online gathering on the 26th, also an online gathering for the first service of 2022. Everyone say 2022. Can't believe we're saying that. For 2022, our first service will also be online because that will be on the 2nd of January, which is also a difficult time to get people out and about. And so we thought we'd have mercy on everybody. Are you glad about that plan? I'm really glad about that plan. I just think it's a good idea for us to roll that way this year. Well, there's been some big announcements in our state this week, which have hit the news, and we've all been waiting for those announcements regarding what the government's plan is for us here in Queensland once we reached 80% vaccination rates in terms of dealing with this virus and pandemic that we've all been greatly affected by. Can I say that the announcement of the roadmap forward for our state brings levels of concern for many, many people within our general community, also within our church community, with the possible segregation that takes place in terms of vaccinated and unvaccinated. I want you to know that our posture in terms of a church in regards to how we move forward and cooperate with the plans that are put forward before us is that we at all times want to do everything we can to protect the community that we are given responsibility for in here and also out there. And so we do our very best. But we have a belief that the kingdom of God is an inclusive kingdom, and there's neither male nor female, slave nor free. And that's the concept that the kingdom of God is built upon. So we're very concerned about the effect that the line of demarcation takes in terms of the roadmap forward for us here in Queensland, with people not being able to go out to pubs and clubs. But that doesn't affect you. Turn to your neighbour and say, if that affects you, you're in trouble. That doesn't affect you, but other places where, you know, we're told that unvaccinated people will not be able to attend once the borders are opened. And so we're concerned about that. We've been concerned about how it would affect our church world and places of worship in terms of what we do with our gatherings, our hospitality moments in our cafe and all the functions and events that we have. The good news is that at this stage, the announcement has been to us as places of worship, that there'll be no segregation or demarcation between those that have chosen to be vaccinated and those that have chosen to be unvaccinated. And we just think that's great news for our churches right across the state. We're very thankful for that posture, and we pray that that posture does not change into the future. Our position is that if you are vaccinated, that is a personal choice. If you are unvaccinated, that is a personal choice. And the virus is among us, and we just need to live with it. And that's just the current reality. And so I give that announcement this morning for the sake of everybody, either in the gathering or online, so that you know our posture and position as a church in terms of what's happening in our community. And we don't want anyone feeling left out. We really don't want anyone feeling left out. So our behaviours do not change. We've still got to check in terms of checking into our places of worship and whatnot. And but we operate with our cafe and everything in terms of hospitality. That all comes under the banner of what we do as a place of worship. Are you glad about that today?
Yes.
I am very glad about that today. Have you ever had anybody that's gotten inside your head?
Yeah.
In a bad way?
Yeah.
In a negative way? Anyone ever said stuff about you?
Yeah.
To other people?
Yeah.
That's come back to you? Assessments, assumptions that have been made about your character, your nature, your posture, your position, your attitude, your beliefs. And in this pandemic moment, there's lots of that going on, where there's been wild assumptions made about what different people believe about certain things, about what the church believes about the virus and dealing with it and everything like that, what our pastor believes, and judgments are made. And every now and then we all experience people that have gotten inside our head, and it's a battle we fight. I love the fact we sang that song today. For all of our creative team, thank you. Thank you so much. Good to have TJ on drums today. TJ's everywhere. He's either on drums, he's on bass, he's on electric guitar, he's on acoustic guitar, he's done keyboards before. The only thing he hasn't done is dance. Brad's got that covered, hasn't he? Brad's our dancer. He's got the moves. He's got the moves, no doubt about that. Thank you, TJ. Great to have Gage on board, as Pastor Marichelle said, first day today. Great to have Justin on board also, first day today. And we're in a season where if you've got a gift on your life and we find out about it as pastors, we're going to get in your head. We're going to get in your head. We're going to get right up in your face, actually, and ask you to serve. Ask you to serve with the gift, because gifts have been given so that it might bless the body. That's it. So, you know, people get in our head. Circumstances get in our head. Stuff gets in our head when it's said about us, and it kind of just messes you up, because that's what happens in your head. We're all constantly fighting a battle in our minds that we've got to deal with. And the Apostle Paul, he was fighting a battle in his mind because people were getting in his head, and Paul was getting annoyed about it. It's okay to get annoyed about what goes on in your head, about what people have said about it. It's okay to get annoyed about that. Paul got annoyed with it. And he got to the point where he thought, I've had enough of this. You ever had enough?
Yes.
You ever got to that point? I've had enough. He's saying to himself, I've had enough of this. I'm going to deal with this. And it was a group of people. They were teachers. He calls them, in a mocking way, super apostles. False teachers is what they were. And what they did, they added layer to layer to layer of what you actually had to believe to be a follower in Jesus Christ. Paul preached a simple yet profound truth that Jesus saves us from all of our sins by his grace and his truth and his mercy, and it's by faith alone that we are saved, and that salvation is open to everybody. And they said, well, hang on. Yeah, we can cope with that, but we just want to add this to it. And we want to add this little door to it and this window to it over here. And they were starting to confuse people. They got into the minds, these super teachers, these super apostles, got into the minds of the church, and it really started to confuse the church. It started to trouble the church. It started to distract the church from purpose. So Paul writes to the church in the book of Corinthians. And we're going to look at this today over the next 3 weeks. We're doing a series. Don't be concerned about the title. It's Mind Monsters. Mind Monsters is our thought for the next few weeks. Here's Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And they were saying this of Paul. They are saying, well, Paul's all talk. He's all talk. Like, he's really strong when he writes a letter to us. But when he comes to us, he's like a gentle little teddy bear. And so, you know, Paul's just all wind. There's no substance behind him. He's timid. He's weak. And Paul basically says before this verse, he says, you think I'm weak? Well, I'll come and show you how weak I am. I'll come and deal with this situation. And he said, although we're humans, he says this, although we're humans, he says, we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. Another version says, we do not wage war like humans do. We fight our battles in a different way. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Everyone say divine power. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. So Paul, in these verses, is writing about the spiritual war and warfare and battle that we're all involved in. And it has a very practical application. It's to shut down what's going on inside of heads when junk has got in there, when trash talk about you has got in there, where confusion about the purity and the simplicity of the gospel has gotten in there. And Paul says in a few verses on, he says, I fear that you'll be led astray from your pure and simple devotion to Jesus Christ. Church, don't ever let anything or anybody, any teaching, any other personality, any ideology or philosophy that goes around, this pandemic, whatever it is, don't ever let anything lead you away from your pure and simple devotion to Jesus Christ. And tragically, that has happened right across our world, particularly in our Western world. In our Western world, it has happened during this last 18 months, 2 years, where many have lost their pure and simple devotion to Jesus Christ. Always hold on to that. You know, we will always have negative situations in life to deal with. We'll always have them. So don't allow negative situations to turn you or I or us or the church into a negative group of people. We are faith-filled. We are faith-filled and we are positive in the way that we approach our life. But these negative invaders of the mind, these mind monsters that we're going to talk about, they will always be present. So what's a mind monster? A mind monster is, it's these kind of things. This is the stuff we're talking about. This is the stuff Paul was talking about to the Corinthian church. Mind monsters are negative invaders of the mind. In other words, they don't belong there. They don't belong, and it's your job to evict them. You're the thinker of your thoughts. It's your job, my job, our job to deal with getting rid of negative invaders of the mind. Firstly, they are fearful imaginations. People that imagine the worst possible case scenario all the time. You ever had a friend like that? They just go there. They go there in their head where they're imagining the worst possible case scenario taking place all the time. Guilt and then also worry, where people are bound up with guilt and shame for feeling inadequate as like a father or a mother or a parent, as a Christian, as a believer, struggling and carrying that load of struggle or the past and the shame of the past. There's a lot of Christians deal with that, a lot of worry that fills people's minds, worry concerning the economy, particularly the gloom and doom of the pandemic and recovery from that, and you know, our belief in that, like, what's next year going to hold? What's 2022 going to look like? Because the language is everything's changed. Everything's changed, and that is certainly a reality, that life has changed in many, many ways, and some things will never, ever be the same. Some things will never, ever be the same, and our world is being redefined before our eyes at a rapid pace, at a rapid pace. And so that causes people a lot of worry. There's a lot of insecurity in people's minds that becomes like a negative stronghold, a negative invader of the mind, where we have a real lack of confidence about ourselves, about our future and what that could look like. What about sadness, where people are filled with depressive thoughts because of everything that's happened. Inaccurate assumptions is a huge one, where we assume the worst about people or about circumstances. So we all have these negative invaders of the mind, these mind monsters that we need to be dealing with on a daily basis. And the reason we need to deal with them is this, because they steal your joy, they disrupt relationship, they rob us of contentment in life, they discourage, they depress, they hold us back, they steal life one day, one moment at a time, and they turn you ultimately into a person you don't want to be, and they take you to a place you don't want to live in. And so therefore we need to deal with them in our mind. I'm trying today through this series to help people break free from mind monsters, these negative invaders of the mind that will manipulate and will dominate who you are, where you go, and what you do in life. And what I want to do is bring some encouragement today about the fact that you can call somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, who are you going to call? You can call somebody to help deal with the mind monsters that you deal with. It's called mind monsters because it's about being equipped to overcome the negative invaders. So Paul, the apostle, the great apostle, the writer of these few verses here, he's talking about making our mind obedient to the word of God, not the negative forces and the negative voices, the trash talk, the new concepts, the strange teachings that are turning the church away from the pure and that they have to Jesus. What Paul teaches is this, is to compare what's in our mind and align it with what's in God's word, to make sure there's an alignment between our mind and the word of God, what the word of God presents. And Paul says this, he says, we demolish strongholds. We demolish. We attack. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is something that has a strong hold on you. It has a strong hold on you. You can't. There's positive strongholds and there's negative ones. Praise is a positive stronghold. It's a place to go. David the psalmist talks about that. Going to a place of praise. It's a positive stronghold, is a place of praise. But worry and insecurity and guilt and fearful imaginations and negative assumptions, inaccurate assumptions, they are all things that become strongholds that hold us and bind us. And I just can't break the worry habit, is what people think. Yes, you can. You can break it. We all have them. We've all got these strongholds that we've got to deal with, this battle that takes place for all of us. And I love the way Paul talks and writes here, because they were saying he's weak, and yet he kind of stands on the platform of his apostolic authority, which simply means he was a father to a group of churches. And I kind of seem like William Wallace. How many of you remember the movie Braveheart? And William Wallace, the great leader to set Scotland free, and riding up and down on his horse with his war paint on, shouting out to all of his warriors about what they're going to do, and you know, freedom, and all of it. This is what Paul's doing right here. He's like this militant warrior, and he's declaring, we have power to demolish, to destroy the strongholds that are in our minds. These strongholds, they're negative patterns. Negative patterns and negative thoughts that become so entrenched in our mind because of repetition. What you repeat in your mind, you repeat in your life. It becomes entrenched. You develop literally routes or pathways, neurological pathways, patterns of thinking in your mind that your mind, your subconscious mind even, just automatically goes to, and it's like it's overwhelming for us. It overtakes us. We don't even make a choice willingly. It just happens because it's so entrenched in our mind. And this is what a stronghold does and what a stronghold becomes for us, that promotes fear and anxiety and worry and stress and doubt, arguments and pretensions, Paul calls them. A pretension is anything that elevates itself as something when it's not that. And it particularly elevates itself against the authority of God and the authority of God's word. And it all creates an internal battle. Do you know the biggest battle of your life is the battle in your mind? The biggest battle you fight is the battle in your mind. Your biggest problem is not people. Paul says we don't fight against flesh and blood. That's not, our battle is not people. People are not our biggest battle. Problems are not our biggest battle. You're always going to have people and you're always going to have problems, and those two actually come together. They are twins. Wherever you have people, you have a problem. See, I never had a problem till you came into my life. And you never had a problem till I came into your life. When you were alone, it's wonderful to be alone. And then you bring somebody else into your life and you have a problem. That's the way life works. We're all problems. You are the problem. I am the problem. We are the problem. But people are not really your problem. They're just something you've got to deal with. Attention you've got to hold. You've got to live with them and understand they will create friction and problems around your world. So your biggest problem is not people. Your biggest battle is not people, or and it's not problems. Your biggest battle is the battle of your mind. I grew up loving sport. I grew up in Gladstone, a little community, 20,000 people. Everybody played sport. Everybody knew everybody. Every Saturday you played cricket all day. You played rugby league. You played hockey. You played that right throughout your schooling, and just grew up living that fun-filled kind of family thing in a little country town. And what I loved about sport was when you're young and when you're a child, it's all innocent, except for the parents running up and down the sideline screaming their heads off, you know, at kids and referees and all that kind of thing. But for the kids, it's all just fun. It's all just fun. They're just enjoying running around, tackling their mates, and you go to school with these kids and they're your best mates at school, and then when you get on the field, they're your enemy and you're trying to destroy them and break them and hurt them. But it's all kind of innocent. You really like each other. But as you grow up a little bit and you get into mature age grades, you get into seniors, and when I started playing senior cricket, I found that it totally changed. In senior cricket, the people that I thought were my friends on the other side were far from being my friends. When I went out there to bat, they had a lot to say about my mother, my brother, who was also my sister. Hey, Mike, hope you're online today. And my family and my looks. I mean, what was wrong with my looks? What did my mother have to do with me batting? And they would yell all this kind of abuse at me from the slips, those that were in close. And unless you've played, you don't really, you're oblivious to this. Occasionally, if you watch the cricket, you'll hear it because they now have little microphones everywhere. You know, these little microphones, they pick up everything. They pick up absolutely everything. And you can hear it on the microphone, on the wickets now. And the Australian team have gotten themselves in, you know, quite some trouble with this over the last few years for the trash talk to the batsmen, because they just try to get in their head. They try to disrupt their routine. See, a cricketer has a certain routine that he goes through every time he squares up or faces up, and he might touch his pad. And, you know, it just goes through a certain routine. They try and disrupt that routine. They try and get into his head. If they can disrupt his routine, they disrupt his thought processes. They disrupt the outcome. They disrupt him. If they can agitate him, if they can get him responding back, they love it. They love it. What they hate is when you just ignore them and you just block them out and you become robotic. You become robotic in the way you operate. And that's the difference between a good batsman and an immature batsman. An immature batsman will get aggravated, will allow them in his head, but they're really cruel. The stuff they say, the personal stuff that they say, it's totally inappropriate. It's totally wrong, but it's become part of the way that we do sport because the aim is to mess with their head. The aim is to get them so messed up that they can't do what they're supposed to do. Now, a good coach, what a good coach does is a good coach teaches the batsman to be prepared for that, to be prepared for the battle that you're going to face, for what you're going to confront when you go out there, so that when you get out there, you don't get all wounded in your emotions and in your heart because your head is ruling. Yeah. You know, your heart, that's where you feel. We've all got one of them. Yeah, I don't mean the literal pumper. I mean that heart part of your whole makeup and frame that God's designed. That's where your emotions come from. That's where your feelings come from. Then you have the intellect part of your mind, which is where your intentionality comes from. Your ability to make decisions and live with conviction and to have focus. And it's that Paul is talking about because it's that needs to rule how we live and engage in the battles of life and the verbiage that's thrown at us to mess up with our heads. So this is what Paul is doing when he writes to the Corinthians, and this is what I want to do for you and I today and over the next few weeks is I want to be a coach. You can call me Coach Tony. Everyone say Coach Tony. Coach Tony. So I'm going to coach you about this battle and try and help every one of us. Here's my first thought is you can't have a positive life with a negative mind. You cannot. It's impossible to have a positive life. And when I say a positive life, I mean a God-fulfilled life. I mean a God-prosperous life, a God-blessed life, a God-abundant life, the life that Jesus... You can't have that unless you have a positive mind. With a negative mind, you just can't do it. You see, you can be saved and on your way to heaven and yet still have mind monsters to deal with. You don't just automatically get granted a pass in church world and faith world and in God connection to overcome all of your mind monsters when you pray your prayer and become a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't get an automatic pass that skips you from having to deal with this. The Bible doesn't actually say we get transformed in our life and minds by coming simply to church. It talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that happens through the Word of God, through an alignment and an understanding, a receiving of the Word of God. It's like you can't just go and sit in a garage all day and become a car. Doesn't happen. You can't eat bananas all week and become a monkey. Doesn't work. It's the same as being a Christian and a God follower, a believer. Just coming to church once a week for an hour and a half or an hour 45 if the pastor's long-winded, that is not going to transform. We need more than that. And we've been talking about that in our Connect group, which is focusing on the moment on our discipleship journey. And we started this week talking about just reading your Bible because you don't get enough on a Sunday to keep you going all week. And so to be a feeder, imagine if you only went to the fridge on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and that was it for the week. Man, that'd be a big eat, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd be filling, you'd be everything. Just, you would be a fridge if that was the case, you know, if you're only going to eat Sunday morning for all the week. And yet spiritually for so many, that's the way it works. And so we need to learn to self-feed, to be a self-feeder, to lead our lives so we're growing and renewing our mind and our thoughts. And so we're only transformed by the renewing of our mind, which happens deeply by the Word of God, also by the Spirit of God, by building community and connection and engagement in the house of God like we do. It's all part of the puzzle that comes together to help us promote living this God-aligned life. You see, the battle of the mind is a battle we all need to win. And we don't need to be intimidated by it. We don't need to be scared about it. We actually have the weapons. We're given the Word of God. We're given the name of Jesus. We're given the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. And that's all awesome and amazing in itself if you just had that. But God's also given you the ability to make choices and intentionality in your own mind to engage the Word of God, to live with the Word of God, to overcome a negative mind. So a positive mind, what is that? A positive mind is a God-centered mind. It's a God-centered mind that empowers us to shut down the chatter of the enemy. You're just going to shut it down. You might not be able to shut him up, but you've got to shut it down. So you can't control what somebody else says. I can't control, you can't control, we can't control what people say about us. People will say what they say. I can try to shut them up, but I can't shut them up. But what I can do is shut them down. I can just close the gate, close the door, shut the window, put soundproofing in terms of my mind so that they can't penetrate in my mind, because I want to shut down the distraction. I want to shut down the intimidation. So this battle, the most important battle of life that you have, is the battle for your own mind. You know, you can have it right in your head, or right in your heart rather, but wrong in your head. Right in your heart, but wrong in your head. In other words, you can be a person of great intentions, good intentions. Like people often say, oh, they had a good heart. Well, a good heart doesn't stop them from having stupid in their head. Does it? Let's be honest. It doesn't. Have you ever seen someone with a good heart? They're a good person, good intentions, but in the head? Let's use a Bible word, foolish. Foolishness. What is foolishness? Stupid. Same word. Same word. You can have a good heart, but have it wrong in your head. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart. Here, that Bible word is an interchangeable word meaning heart and head. And really, the inflection of it here, the inference of it here, is your intellect, your head, to have an understanding, an engagement of knowledge and how that works out. So guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. In other words, your life experience, your life enjoyment, your life journey, the boundaries of your life, where the fences lie, how far you can go, where you can live, who lives around your world, the people in your world, all of that is determined by what goes on in your head, with this battle that you have in your mind. And the right in our heart does not compensate for the wrong in our head. In other words, good intentions will not save you from dumb decisions. Good intentions will not and cannot save you from dumb decisions. So being a believer is not about just being a good person with a good heart. It's about training. It's about being a disciple. It's about renewing and transforming your mind and the way you think, talk, and act so that it's in alignment with the Word of God. We've really got to keep our head in all situations. Paul wrote those thoughts to Timothy, who was a young pastor. And in the second book he wrote to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 5, he writes this. He said, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Keep your head. As a young pastor, this is good advice to a young leader. Good advice. I would give this advice to any young, keep your head in every situation. Endure hardship, part of the journey. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. So here's Paul saying to this young and upcoming pastor of the church at Ephesus, he's saying, keep your head in every season. In every season, keep your head, Timothy. Keep your head above everything else. It's not enough just to have good intentions in your heart. Give attention to your head. And the thought is, we each one have responsibility for our own head, for what goes on in our head, in our minds, the thoughts that we develop and that we allow ourselves to think. I would like us to personalize this thought today that was written to this young preacher, that I need to keep my head in all situations and guard this thing. Guard what I allow, the information I allow to get into it, the chatter that I allow to get into it about me, about what people might say about me. I can't stop what they say, but I can stop what comes inside of my head. And I've got to be prepared, every one of us, to endure hardship, and to find and fulfill the purpose that is on our lives. That's great advice for every season of life. But I've got to be honest with you, it's probably the best advice you're going to hear in a season of pandemic where people, many people, have lost their way. Have lost their way, have lost their heart for God, their heart for the church, their heart for faith. This is some of the best advice you're ever going to get. Keep your head. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, keep your head? Keep your head. Guard it. Look after it. You don't want it getting damaged. You see, if you get it wrong in your head, all the right in your heart can't make up for the wrong in your head. When it's wrong in your head, what you start to do is you start to exaggerate everything. You exaggerate things. There's so much exaggeration around our world right now, which leads to, how do I say the next word? Exacerbation. Is that close?
Yeah.
Pretty close. Yeah, that's pretty good. See, I am intelligent. Exaggeration leads to exacerbation. And I think there's a lot of people that are just exacerbated now because of all the exaggeration. Don't talk in the front row when I'm preaching because it puts me off, you know? Yeah. You. Exaggeration. There's a lot of generalization that takes place. You can talk anytime you like. A lot of generalization, as long as you're talking good talks about me. There's a lot of generalization that takes place when you got it wrong in your head. Oh, everybody's doing this. All men are this. All women are this. Not all. That one. If it's one, keep it to one. If it's two, keep it to two. If it's ten, keep it to ten. It's not everybody. You start catastrophizing everything. Everything just gets blown way up beyond exaggeration to catastrophize. That's not even a word. It's out there. You just say it's big. You blow it up. Have you ever heard anyone like that that talks? And you, well, just turn on the TV. Listen to the news. They do it all the time. Just blow it up. Like, seriously? Not thinking things through clearly is what you do when you haven't got it right in your head. Making irrational assumptions about people, about things, about God, about the church, about life, about your path in life, your place in life. Making inappropriate conclusions about other people, about yourself. Inappropriate conclusions. People that are down on themselves when they haven't got it right in their head. This is what the coach says. Stay calm. Stay calm. Stay calm. Have some KFC. We'll have some KFC tonight at our team talk night. Make sure you're here if you're serving on a team, if you're a leader in any capacity in our church. This is what the coach says. Stay focused. When you go out there in the battle of life, there's going to be some things done to you, said to you, that are going to affect you, offend you, hurt you, challenge you. Keep your head. Stay calm. Stay focused. Just go through your routine. What's your routine? I read your word, Lord, because I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I hide your word in my heart. You know, it's not your literal heart here. It's really I hide your word in my head so that I might not sin against thee, Lord. Go through your routines, your prayer. Just whatever you pray, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, 3 hours, whatever it is, whatever your prayer looks like, keep a routine. Keep your routines. Church, connection, connect groups, fellowship, loving people, helping people, serve. Keep your routine. It's your routine that keeps you on track.
Yeah.
Don't get irritated. Don't get frustrated. Don't get distracted. Keep your head. Don't let the voices get into your head. If you're hearing voices, that are negative, shut them down. Shut them down. Realize where they come from and what they're trying to do and learn to keep your head, because thoughts are like trains. They take you somewhere. Thoughts are like trains. When you get on a train, it takes you somewhere. You get into that carriage, it takes you on a trip. It takes you on a journey. And these negative invaders of the mind, these mind monsters, they're like trains. Toot, toot. And they take you somewhere. They take you. They take your life somewhere. They take you to a destination. And unfortunately for some of us, we're on like one of those mystery Mystery trips. You know the mystery trips they used to promote for planes and that sort of thing years back? You just buy a ticket, turn up, takes you wherever it wants to take you. Don't let things do that to your life. Know where you're being taken, because life can end up somewhere you really don't want to be. And so my question is, where is your head taking you? Where is your head, where is your mind taking you? What's the ticket say? What's the destination on there? You see, emotions, they will take you to bad mood city. Responses that are bad will take you to Lonesomeville. Chatter can take you, inappropriate chatter can take you to Whiner's Valley. Trash talk can take you to Complainer's Camp. We've got to learn to see the good and the blessing that God has in our world and in our heart and in our lives and in our homes, and celebrate that and cheer it on, and learn to magnify the blessing more than you do the negative and the problems. That's why your praise is so important. Maximize the praise to overcome the problem. Maximize the worship to overcome the worry. This is really relevant right now for our church. It's really relevant right now for our leadership. It's really relevant right now in our community, in our state, in our nation, with what we are facing, that we learn to magnify the positives and minimize the negatives in our internal dialogue, because things have changed. We've lost some stuff. Life is not what it used to be, but we can't sit here and grieve over what has gone and what has lost. We give thanks for it. We're thankful that we had it. We're thankful that it was so good. But now we're living in this day, and we're going to move forward from this spot into a beautiful and magnificent and God-blessed, abundant, prosperous future. That's what we have to do. I'm not going to live in the camp of regret or the camp of loss or the camp of suffering or the camp of why us or what happened to our world, because that will lead you to an achy, breaky heart, which will break your head. And God wants to renew our minds so we can be empowered to be the people we're called to be. It doesn't mean we neglect issues and we neglect problems and because we're people of faith. I don't think faith people and faith-filled people are neglectful at all. I think they're very aware. I like to be very aware of what's going on in our world and very aware of current circumstances and trends and be informed about that. But I also want to be at the same time absolutely faith-filled by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the promises of God and the purpose that God has for the church. And so it means that we approach the challenge of life with a faith-filled spirit. You're a warrior today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a warrior. You're a warrior today. Not a warrior, a warrior. A warrior, not a worrier. Change some of the vowels in there and get the spelling right to get the posture right. Which means this: we believe more than we doubt. Doesn't mean you won't doubt. We all have our doubtful moments and our doubtful days, but we believe more than we doubt. It means we live with an attitude of gratitude. I'm just going to be grateful. I'm going to be grateful. You know, some of the things that happened in church life as we reduced a little bit because of the challenges, and, you know, we had some people move on and some people leave town and all of that that took place, and it affected some of our teams and certainly the team on stage here. It really affected them in terms of the depth of resource they had with their team rosters, and it was a challenging time for them. It was a challenging time for all of us as they spearheaded leading praise and worship for our church. Through that whole thing, I just did my best to try and maintain a spirit of gratitude for who we did have and celebrate who is here. And you know, you're here today and you deserve to be celebrated. Why don't you give yourself a big hand today? You deserve to be celebrated. You deserve to be celebrated because you're still going. You're still going. And that's why we've got to get it right in our head so we don't stop, so we don't get lost. We need to host a confidence about how our life is live and to live assured of God's presence in everything. Let me close with this thought. We're going to have our team come to stage. Philippians 4:8. We'll look at this verse next week, I think, where Paul says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. In other words, fix your head on this. Fix your thoughts, your head. Get it right. This is how you keep your head. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. And think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Why is this so important? Because this confirms your direction And it actually decides your destination.
Yeah, right.
Your destination. You are where you are today because your thoughts have allowed you to go there.
Yeah.
And you will be where you will be tomorrow because of where your thoughts are taking you. You are the thinker of your thoughts. Reclaim your power. Align your mind with the ways and the Word of God. Rewrite the script. Replace the narrative about yourself. Replace the narrative you have about yourself. You've had some stuff happen to you. Most of us have. Endure hardship. Keep your head in every season that you find yourself in, because the next you is determined by how you handle the battle of your mind. And so our choice, let's stand together. Our choice about this battle, our choice about the mind monsters that we need to be dealing with, is I'm either going to embrace them and let that chatter go on and let it distract and affect, dominate, manipulate me, or I'm going to take control. And I'm going to be really intentional about bringing down these strongholds. I'm going to use the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. I'm going to use truth. I'm going to use grace. I'm going to use mercy. I'm going to use all these great weapons that God has given me and gifted me with. And I'm going to start to make some declarations that not in my mind. Not in my mind, devil. Not in my life. Not in my future. I'm issuing you notice today. I'm going to evict them. I'm going to evict the trash talk that has gotten into my head. I'm going to tune into a different station. I'm going to tune into a different station. I'm going to listen to a different story. I'm going to have a new script written, and I'm going to align myself with a narrative that's going to take me where I want to be, make me who I want to be, and make my world what I want it to be. How things are is not how things will always be. Today, I'm going to demolish some of the mind monsters that are going around my world. This is how I fight my battles. Come on. Come on, church. This is how I fight my battles. Come on, team.
This is how I fight my battles.
Not going to embrace. There's some trash talk that we can't afford to let get into our head and disrupt our processes, our routines, our commitments, our intentionality. Lord, there's a battle for our head and for our mind that will affect everything about who we are, what we do, where we go. And so it's really important right now that
we keep our head. And so help every person in this room today, because this is a battle that's common to every one of us. But that although we're human, like Paul says, we do not fight against flesh and blood. Our battle is not people. Our battle is not really problems. Our battle is not even a pandemic. Our battle is all the chatter that gets into my head and causes a disruption. It's a disruption to my world. It's a disruption to everything that I represent and everything that I am and everything I'm called to be. It's a disruption to the church. And so we're going to shut down the chatter, and we're going to increase the alignment with the word and the ways of God. Help us to walk it out. Help us to work it out. Help us to get this happening in our world is what I pray. Bless my brothers, my sisters today, everyone here today. We need your help. We need you, because this is how you've designed us to fight our battles today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church, why don't you give the Lord a hand today? God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for being with us online.